This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Friday Halaqa at Abu Huraira Center, and we're still doing our Halaqa online due to the lockdown and the restrictions in the light of the rise of cases in COVID-19. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep everyone safe and to protect us and our loved ones. We are dealing with Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, so we're still going through a thematic approach or journey through the Quran as we are exploring each surah and what is the main theme in it, and we're trying to see how these sub themes connect to and support the primary theme, and then we try to draw practical benefits from the surah. Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, we said, is a Makki surah, and it's surah number 12 in the Quran. And the general theme here is the lessons that we can take from the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. And it's rich in events. There's a lot of events, and they are very, very deep. And even the treatment and the description of the events is quite powerful in Surah Yusuf. And it seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims in general to reflect on these lessons, learn from them, and draw parallels, because the challenges share some similarity. Although on the surface, the circumstances seem to be different, but again, the human condition, the human experience shares quite a bit. So it's a reminder here. And there's a lot of the very interesting thing about Surah Yusuf. There is a lot of I would say lessons that pertain to al-qadr, the qadr of Allah, the divine will of Allah. And the qadr is the system of this life, is how this life unfolds, how it works, what are the dynamics. Surah Yusuf reveals a lot of the beautiful lessons that we can learn about the qadr, as we will see. I believe we reached verse number 22. That's what we finished last time. So we start with verse number 23. So giving a background information on where the story has reached, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, saw a very special dream. His father knew or understood what the interpretation was. There are signs that Yusuf alayhi salam would become a man of power and status. And most likely that would be through prophethood again. So he would be a prophet. The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they were from another mother, and they were not happy with the fact that Yusuf, or that their father, loved Yusuf alayhi salam so much. They thought maybe Yusuf was the obstacle. He was the reason why, as they thought, their father was not giving them due attention. They decided to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam. A beautiful lesson that we can take here is that if you feel you are wronged, or you are not given your rights, if you feel you're a victim of any type of victimhood, that you allow yourself to go in, can very easily slip or develop into a catalyst and a justification for you to commit unethical acts. So the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they thought that their father was not doing justice, and their father was loved Yusuf alayhi salam more. And again, a preference or a specific love that is very natural to one of the children, or to specifically one person. Sometimes it's not completely under control when it comes, but treatment is supposed to be fair. And speaking about a messenger or a prophet like Ya'qub alayhi salam, we have all the reasons to confirm and be assured that he treated his children with justice. But the children caught that there is love, there is natural love there that is given to Yusuf alayhi salam. And when they felt that they deserved the same, and that Yusuf alayhi salam was the obstacle. He was like winning all the love, not the treatment, but the love, this natural love. Then they thought, they apparently saw themselves being wronged by Yusuf. Then they arrived at a conclusion that they were justified in contemplating even killing him, murdering him. But eventually they decided to go with a lesser, or the lesser evil, or lesser of the two evils, that these were the two options on the tables, on the table for them, and that was to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam, which was still such a huge thing to be done. And it shows that humans have this tendency. So by the way, as we go through Surah Yusuf, we're going to, again, the surah is full with lessons, and it's very hard to go through it quickly without being caught in the lessons. So we are going to let the lessons, you know, consume our time, and we will let the lessons dictate the pace. So inshallah, we're not trying to rush through the surah. So what we can learn here as well is that's the nature of humans, that once you feel you are wrong, you are wronged, that you are a victim, this is a very dangerous place to be in, morally speaking. And there is human weakness, that the moment we feel we are wronged, we feel we have the right to inflict harm and to wrong the other person and to act unethically. This is why it's a very serious thing. And we all share this weakness. Prophet Adam alayhi salam had this weakness, and this was exactly what Shaitan capitalized on. Shaitan came to Adam alayhi salam, who was put in paradise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was honored with dwelling in paradise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah said, you have everything you want. All the beauty in paradise is open to you, except for one tree as a test. Shaitan comes to Adam alayhi salam and he says, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. Allah did not prevent you from eating from this tree, except out of fear that you may become immortal, or you become an angel. You upgrade your nature as a human being. And Adam fell for that. Why did he fall for that? Because it was a feeling of, I didn't get quite what I deserve. And this kind of weakness is very serious in humans. So we should be careful. We should always keep ourselves in check and not fall for this, you know, human tendency. The moment you feel you are being wronged or that you are a victim of any kind, even if it's just imaginary, even if it's a matter of exaggeration, like you exaggerated the conditions and you just arrive at that conclusion, which is could very well not be true, you are in a position to start acting unethically. It's very easy to fall into this. And it's rare among humans that when someone is wrong that they would respond ethically. So that's a very important lesson. So they left Yusuf alayhi salam in the well. They created a big lie. They made a whole act pretending that Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, making up a story and bringing false evidence to their father. Father is grieving and he's in so much pain. But he knows that they are not telling the truth. There's nothing he could do at the moment. And Yusuf alayhi salam is found by a trading caravan. They also take him. So Yusuf alayhi salam is already wronged now, and in no small ways. And then he is taken now by strangers and he is sold into slavery. So he's brought into this house, and we said it's a very important, influential man in Egypt. His name, his title is Al-Aziz. And they decide to take him either as a servant, as a slave, or even probably a son. So it wasn't clear. But apparently he was treated more as a slave, but he was still treated like he was not abused in a sense. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him. Allah gave him wisdom. Allah gave him knowledge. And we mentioned last week, and this is what we closed this session with, that when someone acts, when you act morally and ethically, when you stay true to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will take care of you. So this is one of the lessons that we learn about Al-Qadr. You want to this life to work well for you, hold on to the moral principles that are actually divine principles, and to the divine command and guidance. These things position you, this kind of obedience and this kind of taqwa. This is the point. It's taqwa. It's called taqwa. It's mindfulness. Acting based on this mindfulness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will position you perfectly when it comes to life circumstances. It doesn't mean there's no trials or there's no pain, but it means with everyone, you're going to get the best deal. Yusuf alayhi salam grows up. Allah gives him a lot of knowledge. Now we start with verse number 23. Now the wife of Al-Aziz. Now she's supposed to be his master. She is consumed by love and attraction to Yusuf alayhi salam. He was very handsome, beautiful, and she just falls for her desires, for her base desires. And she starts acting on that. And the way she acts on this is by locking the doors, shutting the windows, locking the doors, and securing, you know, the room she was in with Yusuf alayhi salam, that no one comes in, that they are by themselves. So again, there's no sense of shyness, people are watching us, or fear of people talking about that or being found out or whatever, for her and even for him. Because again, she's a woman of high status in society. And her behaving this way is unacceptable to anyone, and it's going to ruin her reputation, create a lot of problems, maybe even probably destroy her marriage, etc. But again, for Yusuf alayhi salam, and apparently he lived in her house, and since he's this type of person who's got knowledge, who's taken care of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can definitely know, and we can tell from his behavior that he's a man of shyness, bashfulness. She knew that he would not get into something like that, and that he would, just in case, I mean, in case, which is not going to happen, but we're just trying to follow her, you know, thread of logic. If he falls for her temptation, then he would definitely be concerned about him being found out or being known to have done this or that. So she took all of that into consideration, and she tried to create a perfect, you know, setup for him to fall for this kind of temptation or this kind of seduction. And she invites him explicitly by words. She invites him to herself, even in words. His immediate response was, you know, I seek Allah's protection from that. It's impossible. He says, ma'ad Allah. He says, I seek protection, Allah, from falling into this. And by the way, there's a lot in this, just in this expression, ma'ad Allah. Basically, he doesn't say, no, I'm not that kind of person. He doesn't say that. Allah is the first that comes to his mind. And that shows taqwa, mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, awareness, connection to Allah. Understanding that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who makes things happen. And it's Allah who protects. So there is reliance, there is tawakkul in Allah. He says, ma'ad Allah. He says, I seek Allah's protection in this. I ask Allah to protect me from falling into this. Ma'ad Allah. Innahu Rabbi ahsana mithwaya. So he says, he's my Lord, has really put me in a good place, taking good care of me. Now, this could have one of two meanings, or probably double meaning. It could be referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been good to me, has been taking care of me. I'm not going to betray, you know, the grace and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to transgress the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has been good to me. Like, so this is, it shows shyness, dutifulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or it could mean, could be a reference to his master, to her husband. So he could be saying, you know, but you are the wife of my master and he's been looking after me. How do you want me to betray him in such a way? And both meanings are actually correct and suit, you know, the character of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Then he says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Indeed, those who transgress, those who do wrong, will not be successful. Another lesson for Al-Qadr is that if you transgress the limits, if you fall into oppression, injustice, you are setting yourself up for ruin. And that's exactly what Yusuf alayhi salam is saying. So another beautiful lesson. And it's very important, obviously, for the Muslims, for the early Muslims, and for all Muslims to learn this and absorb it. And it's a reminder for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Allah says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. And she actually approached him. She started engaging in the, foreplay or the initial signs of trying to get him involved. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. This is what she did. وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. Had he not been in sight of, had he not been seeing, witnessing the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's faith, that's iman, that's the light of iman in his heart, his awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's actually living it as a fact that Allah is watching him, because it is a fact, but he was experiencing it truly. It was not only an idea for him, it was a reality, it was a truth that he was living and he was experiencing. So had he not been a witness of the signs of his Lord, he would have fallen for that. He would have fallen for this temptation. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. And thus, and this is how we keep away, or we push away the evil, harm, and evil acts, indecent acts like fahsha, like this, we keep them away, we push them away from Yusuf alayhi salam. So look at how Allah says, I remove away, I take away harmful things, indecent evil acts, I take them out of the way, away from Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about his plan and talking about how he makes the world unfold. Now, what was the immediate mechanism for this protection? What was the immediate cause, if you like, or the secondary cause that Allah used, the tool that Allah used to protect Yusuf alayhi salam? It was the taqwa that Allah nurtured in him, and it was the knowledge that Allah gave him, and it was the character that Allah built in him, and it was that behavior that Allah inspired in him in order to protect him with. And this is how Al-Qadr works. Then Allah explains why, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Indeed, he is from our servants who are pure, or who are chosen and purified. Both meanings are correct of this. And it shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who are the good ones in his servants, and thus Allah takes care of them. Allah protects them. Then the scene goes on. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابَ وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبُرٍ. And they race to the door of the room. who would race. Apparently, from the story, it was Yusuf alayhi salam trying to get out of this room, because the situation is completely wrong and it's going in the wrong direction. So a very good tactic to avoid sin is to physically remove yourself from, you know, the area where the sin is likely to happen. So it seems Yusuf alayhi salam races to the door. She chases him, like she's not even giving up. And it shows that she has contemplated this. She's been contemplating this for a while. She's been thinking about it. She's been rehearsing it in her mind. She's been planning it. She's reached a point of complete determination. She's not going to give up easily. She rushes, and not only that, she grabs him from behind. She grabs his collar from behind, his garment from behind. And due to the, like, she badly wants to bring him, wants to get hold of him, she pulls his garment and she tears it. She rips it off. The moment Yusuf alayhi salam arrives at the door and she's right behind him, trying to catch him, who's there at the door? It is her husband. Her husband. Now again, she switches, the situation changes. Sorry, I just happened to hit my phone. All right, so she switches her complete psyche at that moment, because now it's a completely different situation. Her husband is there, finds out what had just happened. Everything could go down the drain. So what does she do? She automatically blames Yusuf alayhi salam. She accuses him of trying to mess with her. So she says, قالت ما جزاء من أراد بأهلك سوءا إلا أن يسجن أو عذاب أليم. She doesn't even like make up an accusation. No, she has a full case. She thought up a full case immediately. She said, what is the punishment? What is the proper punishment for someone who's tried to mess with your family? Except to be put in prison or to be severely punished. And it shows that her focus was on herself. And this is a lustful love. It's not true love. It is desire. It is desire. Yusuf alayhi salam, and this is a lesson that we learn here. The lesson that we learn from how she behaved is that those who do wrong and initiate it usually, come up with excuses. Sometimes, you know, good people could act with naivety and think that once they sort of oppose someone who's trying to do something bad, or they stand up for themselves, they think that person does not have plan B or even plan C and D. They think, oh, this person, you know, is just going to give up, or is going to shy away. On no, a lot of these people who have the audacity to do bad things and initiate bad things usually are going to go to great lengths in order to protect themselves, and in order to get you in trouble, and in order to, you know, achieve their goals. So just be careful. Don't underestimate, you know, the I would say the stamina that people who initiate bad moves that they could actually maintain in order to, you know, continue with their plan. Yusuf alayhi salam, in this immediate moment, he realizes that he's been set up by this woman, and not only that she tries to seduce him and get him into committing a grave sin, but the moment she's almost found out, she's willing to shift the blame completely on him, accuse him without justice, accuse him of something extremely grave. So he's considered to be a slave for them, so they own him. And so it's not only he's trying to mess with a woman, but he's trying to mess with the wife of his own master. Such a huge violation. It would be like a double crime. Yusuf alayhi salam immediately defends himself. He says, "Qala hiya rawadatni an nafsi." He says, "She's the one who tried to, you know, get me into this. She's the one." And sometimes good people, you know, don't stand up for themselves. But this is a lesson that we take from Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, that when something is being said about you that's wrong and you are able to defend yourself, say the truth. Say the truth. You have to defend yourself. But don't do that. Don't do that with drama. Some people like to create drama about everything. Yusuf alayhi salam just stood up for himself. As simple as that. He stated a fact. And then, so his word actually had impact. So they needed to get someone, a wise person, to arbitrate, to deal with, to judge in the situation. وَشَهِدَ شَهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. A man from her own household, her own family. His judgment was, he was consulted and he judged. He said, if his garment is pulled from the front, that means she was trying to defend herself against his attack. So he would be guilty. But if, which was considered to be, in the context for them, a remote possibility, that if, but if the rip in his garment is from the back, then his story is true. He was trying to run away and she grabbed him from behind. So when they checked, because this man was not brought to see, he was just asked about to judge remotely. And when they noticed that the rip in Yusuf's garment was from the back, her husband realized what had happened. And so what he said, this is قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنْ عَظِيمٌ. So this is from your plotting. It's from your planning. This is your games. And he was actually speaking, generally speaking, to women, that you are very intelligent, that you're very good at setting like almost a perfect plan or setup for something like that. Then he says to Yusuf al-Islam, Yusuf a'rid an hadha. Yusuf, turn away from this. Don't mention it. Don't talk about it. Again, it has, you know, grave, gross social consequences for the whole family. And for her, استغفري لذنبك, seek a way out of this thing. And استغفري لذنبك here, it doesn't mean, you know, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these people apparently did not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what it meant, استغفري لذنبك, seek protection. Because istighfar means protection. Means protection. Seek protection means don't let this seep out. Don't let this leak out and be known. So protect yourself from this mishap or from this mistake. إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. This was a huge mistake from you. Then the news leaked out. And other women in the city were talking about the wife of Al-Aziz, that she was trying to set up, you know, her own servant, her own slave. She was trying to seduce him. Apparently, she was consumed in attraction, in love for him. She's surely a misguided woman. Like, she's completely, like, out of her mind. When she heard about that, again, she would not let that go. She wanted to set them up. And she understood the impact of the beauty and the handsomeness of Yusuf alayhi salam on women. So she set them up. She invited them for food. And she let them sit comfortably. And again, it seems to be the norm at the time that women would get involved in preparing the food, helping the host. So she gave each one of them a knife. And it seems that they were cutting maybe some vegetables, something, any type of food. And then in the midst of this, as they were cutting the vegetables, she instructs Yusuf alayhi salam to walk past them. They'd never seen Yusuf alayhi salam. Now they see Yusuf alayhi salam, a young man, so beautiful, handsome. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's given half of beauty that is given to humans. So beauty that was given to humans, half of it was given to Yusuf alayhi salam, the other half was given to the rest of humanity. So you can imagine how beautiful he was. So when they saw him, they were captivated by his handsomeness. And in the midst of that, as they were cutting the stuff, they end up you know, cutting their own fingers, causing themselves injury. And that shows that they were almost intoxicated. They were hypnotized by the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. And this is actually, this thing is, and this phenomenon is known among humans, that sometimes intense experiences, negative or positive, pleasant or painful, could actually be hypnotic, could really affect our consciousness and our experiences. And there are schools in pain suppression who actually use something like this, which is diverting attention completely, where the person loses connection with themselves into something beautiful or something that captures the attention, to the point that a person no longer feels the real physical pain. So when they saw Yusuf alayhi salam, they said, this is not a man, this is not a human being, this must be an angel. Then obviously she catches them, like she tries to own them, right? So she says, this is what you were blaming me about. This is the man. You're like talking about me, like chewing my name, right? But look at yourselves. You just saw him, like you saw him for once. He's living with me in the house. And she's been living with me for years. And then it seems that he says to himself, and or maybe she says to them that, yeah, I tried to get him, but he fastasam, he sought protection. Apparently, she understood that. He sought protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He held on to his values, to the morals. So then she says, and this shows you the determination. She was consumed by that desire. And this shows that when a person is not truly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is not number one in their life, humans are going to fall for their desires. Humans will be weak. The way to transcend desires is to live for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without that, the person will fall for their desires. That is, their desires will take the better of them. So then she says, and if he does not do what I want him to do, what I command him to do, I shall send him to prison. And it shows you it's all about her. It's all about her fulfilling her desires. It's not about him. There's no consent. He's even not treated as a human being. Yusuf alayhi salam, seeing this, he turns to Allah and he knows that there is no way out except by the help of Allah. He says, oh Allah, even if it means going to prison, you know, prison, I'd rather go to prison than commit something that angers you, oh Allah, something that you hate, oh Allah. And then he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. He cries out, he says, oh Allah, if you do not take away all of their plotting and their desires away from me, the weakness of my humanity will take the better of me. I'm afraid it will take the better of me. And then I will end up, you know, acting against, you know, against the best that I of what I know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to try Yusuf alayhi salam. So Allah allows their plans to unfold, these people to be successful. So they make up something, a case against him, Yusuf alayhi salam. They accuse him, obviously, of messing with women, with other ladies, etc. Through this, Allah answers the dua of Yusuf alayhi salam. So it seems to be a very painful experience. Yusuf alayhi salam is accused falsely of such a huge thing, and then he's thrown in prison. But it is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all happening for Yusuf alayhi salam. So Allah protects him from all of their plotting. Then he is actually, these people decide to put Yusuf alayhi salam in the prison. So he goes, Yusuf alayhi salam goes to prison. Now, before we conclude, let me highlight that it's a very important thing. Compare Yusuf alayhi salam to his brothers. His brothers were not really wronged by Yusuf alayhi salam, but they considered themselves to be victims. And that made them transgress. That gave them an excuse. It became the catalyst for them to justify, you know, committing such a huge crime against their own brother. Yusuf alayhi salam is being wronged one time after the other, and with huge things, and he's completely innocent. And things don't seem to be going, in our standards, don't seem to be going right for him. So he's being accused, he's being tried, he's being put in a very difficult situation. Then he's being actually convicted and put in prison. And we will come to see how Yusuf alayhi salam never sees himself as a victim. These are painful experiences. These are huge. He was taken away from his father. He never sees himself as a victim. And it shows that life is going to give us pleasant experiences and painful experiences. That's the nature of life. It's not going to be easy. And problems in life are not going to just vanish. There will always be problems in life. But what really matters is our attitude, is how we respond, how we read our circumstances, how we respond to them, how we experience them. If we just take ourselves too seriously and we start to say, I was wrong, there was this, I didn't get this, I didn't get this, you know, other people had more than I had, they had better conditions, etc. You are playing the victim card. And this is extremely dangerous because it gives you moral licensing where you can actually find it very easy and justifiable to step on the moral code that you believe in and to violate principles and to act inappropriately. We see Yusuf alayhi salam, there is no mention, there's no reference at all to him feeling as a victim. And it's important. This is a very empowering thing that helps us deal with this life. If you see yourself as a victim, that's going to take you in a moral downhill or downward spiral. It's not good. And emotionally, it's going to, you know, have a very negative impact on you. So a sign of belief, a very important thing that we should develop within ourselves, is not to see ourselves as the victims of our circumstances. Circumstances happen. These are just circumstances. Yes, there is pain, there is struggle, etc. But there is some sort of unavoidable pain, call it necessary pain, inevitable. That's just part of life. And Allah never gives necessary pain or does not allow necessary pain to happen unless it's within our capacity. The pain gets overwhelming and unbearable based off of, you know, how we interpret pain and our circumstances and how we respond to them. So a lot of pain is actually self-inflicted. And this is, I know many people don't like this distinction because many people like to wallow in their self-pity, but it's not a good thing. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. Like, these are disasters happening in his life, but there is no sign of victimhood or feeling as a victim. On the contrary, we're going to see that how he actually sees that Allah is taking very good care of him. Okay, so I think this is enough for today, inshallah. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will carry on with the Surah Yusuf next Friday. So you're invited to join us and be with us. Jazakumullah khairan. As usual, I say stay safe and look after yourself and your family. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.